Welcome to the Shonen Geek, the Shonen Geek and Fast Fret podcast. Done.
Well done. Okay, we're going to use that. Groovy. You know what that kind of reminds me of, Todd?
What's
The, not the, but Apollo Suns. Little bit kind of groovy, kind of funky.
Might have to hear one of their songs.
Oh my God, are you gonna make me play one of their songs, Todd? Is that what you're hinting at here now?
If you want me to compare it, everyone else will probably like, who are you talking about? Or maybe not.
Right. And we do that too much on the show, which is why I do like all this post edit stuff. Apollo. So some bad news. The Apollo Suns just lost two of their longtime members,
Yeah.
which I'm really sad about. There we go. The Apollo Suns. Serpentine. That kind of sounds like a cool song. Let's do that one.
Okay.
Holy shit, a lot of stank on there, eh?
That was like some old 70s Starsky and Hutch chase music.
Or just before the chase, right?
Yeah, just before the, yeah.
Yeah,
As they're
right
walking
before the
down the street or going into a bar or something.
Yeah. Yeah, so they lost their one of their main horn players, and they lost their bass player, which is just one of those like, okay, we can't do this anymore because I mean they tour a lot and you know that kind of stuff, so it's you know it's it looks like it's a mutual you know a mutual thing.
Right.
Now this also sounds like we played this before. Wait, Randy Woods. Oh shit, I just showed my hand. Randy Woods Band. Now this is the guy that hosts the Seaside Pod Review podcast. I played one of his songs before. Let's see.
From Chicago, the music.
Does it? Oh, no lyrics. That more of a ska feel on that one.
Yes, dum da 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 dum da da
Yep.
da da da
Yep.
bum.
Like, are those like Latin beats?
I don't know. It's almost like a not Jamaican, but it's kind of like a some type of a tropical type of
Yeah.
sound.
Like
Tropical. part of it at the beginning, but then when he comes in, it's almost like, okay, you've just Americanized it.
Yeah.
And stops singing and he goes back into
Jamaican me crazy.
Yeah.
Oh, geez.
Make a mistake.
Yeah. Jamaican mistake. Don't Jamaica make a mistake with me.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God.
What's the matter for you?
What's the matter for you?
What's the matter for me? What's the matter for you?
I don't even know where that's from, but it's hilarious. I was actually looking forward to tonight. I was just like, let's just do our own show.
Yeah, we could do that too.
Well, no, I promised.
Okay.
That's fine though. I'm actually excited to the surprise guests. I don't know if they've let it known be public, but I talked to you about it. I think Greg Prado, I think, is there, or the guy that wrote Van Halen Rising, I believe, is the guy that's there. And then Chris L from Pot of Thunder.
Mm-hmm.
Remember we had him on our show ages and ages ago. The only thing I'm worried about is that if this thing, well, they're going to have some rules for tonight's. I guess we're not even telling people what we're talking about. What are we talking about, Todd? Where are we going tonight?
In the podcast, we'll rock. Or we'll rock.
One of these days, you're going to like take one of those guitars down and actually play it in the middle of a podcast.
I was actually looking at doing that today, and I was looking at hooking it up. And the problem is this pod track is all XLR.
If it
had the option for XLR and instrument, just a quarter, you could. But I don't have an actual.
You know, my Behringer does that. It's got a slot that can either be the stereo, like the, what's it called, stereo? What do you call the one for the guitar? The jack? Stereo jack?
No, it's just a quarter inch.
Quarter inch. But yeah, the Behringer has a quarter inch. The hole goes for quarter inch and XLR at the same time. It's just a universal hole, I guess.
I mean, I could do it if I hooked up my other mixer and all that stuff, but I just didn't have time to do all that. Plus, when I was trying to play some of the Van Halen 2 songs, and I haven't played it for so long, it's like, oh my God, no, I can't do that. So,
it's pretty.
And every song on the album is either a step, half step up, or a half step down, or a full step down. Like, it's not. You can only play like a handful of songs in
but
one.
He didn't switch guitars live all the time, did he?
No, I don't know how he was tuning it or what happened, but I do know that anytime you play a Van Halen song, like an old one,
yep.
From one song to the next, the tuning, you're either, you know, you're just off a little bit. So you have to tune everything up. And the thing is pretty much all of my bridges are floating. So as soon as you tune down or tune up, the bridge changes the pitch, and then you have to retune them all or retune them all.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's almost like when it, like a.
You need a Steinberg or Steinberg or.
Well, yeah, that or just a, you know, just a regular hard tail. Like my Fender, my blue one, my player series, that's right there.
Okay.
If that one, I could do it because the bridge is almost like right onto the body. But I don't know. I tried playing some of it, and it's been for so long now that it didn't quite sound the way I wanted to. And then when I went to a different song, I had to retune it, and I don't know, just a pain. And if I were to do it live, it wouldn't work. It's like, well, I could play a clip off of this one, and I can play a clip off of this one, but all these other ones, it's not going to be in tune. So
yeah,
unless I, you know, tune each guitar differently, which would take forever.
I'm live streaming just to.
Oh, okay, because it says being sent to the third party.
Yeah.
Okay. Where are we doing it? Does Facebook Live?
Yeah.
Really?
I don't know. Should I go somewhere else?
Mm-mm.
Mom's complaining we don't do it on there, on Facebook Live. It's so much easier on Facebook. Yes, Mom, you're probably right.
Hard to edit it when it's live.
Yeah. Well, I guess we won't insert any music. Mom said when we the last time we recorded, because everything gets posted to Facebook, right? Like afterwards. And most of it's like there's just dead silences all the time throughout the whole thing.
Really?
Because we're playing songs. So Facebook's like, oh, stop that. You got to do that. Stop it. Stop it.
So what do you do if you're recording something like I went and saw Toto.
Yeah.
And
Wait, you did?
Journey. Yeah, Toto and Journey on Monday.
Oh, shit. Oh, shit. That's something we got to talk about.
Yeah, so some people had Facebook Live or whatever they were recording, so I don't know how that would happen. And I've seen it before when I, you know, someone's gone to a concert, doesn't matter what concert it is, you don't put footage up, and it's there.
I think if it's live, it's different, though. Like, I think if it's like, you know, if you use your...
if you post it afterwards, you mean?
No. I think if you get like Shazam or something on your phone, you Shazam something. When Shazam hears the song, there's a bunch of meta stuff in there that it's picking up, I think. So I think it there's like multiple signals in there or something. And then it picks it up and it recognizes it as this song by this band and then reports back to somebody.
Oh,
excuse me. What are you doing? Yeah, no. No, don't do that. He's looking for something to chew on.
Yeah, so Toto was good.
Okay, so Toto was the opener?
Yeah, Toto was the opener. And my God, Steve Lukather, he's still got the chops. Like he's really, really good player. And over the years, they've kind of changed, you know, keyboard players, drummers, I think even singers.
Oh, yeah, probably.
But yeah, this was awesome. It was really, really, really good. And they had a couple of songs where, you know, where people have their lights on their phones and stuff. And I just panned over and you could just see everyone. It was just like a sea of lights.
This is for Toto, though.
This was for Toto.
Wow, so they get that kind of reception, being the opening band.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Toto is a very, I mean, they're pretty much, I mean, from what I recall, Toto was all studio musicians.
Yeah.
Originally, I don't know if they still are or not, but yeah, I guess, yeah, it was really good. Really good. I can't say enough good things about it. There's a lot of songs that it was like, oh yeah, they do that one.
like which one's like, oh, you
probably Hold the Line with one of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Was it 99 or something? Is one of them. The one with
99? 99?
I don't know if that's the name of the song, but I know that's one of the main lyrics and the main chorus. But yeah, I mean, there was some songs that I didn't even recognize. But yeah, once they were done, everything, they rolled up the carpet, they had all the drum kit on wheels, and they wheeled that off the stage, and then they brought the other one in, and all the keyboards and everything were out, and then brought Journey stuff in and whatnot. So when Journey started, that was pretty cool. I didn't realize that Neil Sean was going to be on the other side of the stage. I thought he was going to be on my side.
Were you on the right side?
If you were on the stage, we were on the right side. But if we were facing the stage, we were on the left side.
Oh, so you're on the Michael Anthony side.
Yeah, so we were perfect height-wise. We're like section 106. And then I know Mom had texted me like almost at the end of the night saying that I guess Sam and them were there. So
what? Really? Like,
on the floor. So I had perfect view of the floor and I was looking at the floor, but I didn't recognize anybody. But if I would have known what row they're in, I could have taken a look. But
nice.
Yeah. So
I mean, that's too hard to find somebody like.
Yeah. And the singer for Journey, I mean, he's really good. Like he's been doing it for what, 15 years now or something like that.
So he's a kid compared to the rest, I guess.
He looks like a kid. Like he's got gray hair now. So like, I mean, he's been doing it for a while. A little bit, you know, a little bit gray. But
it's Neil, like you and I playing in Classic Embers.
Yeah.
With so, kids.
And you can tell, I mean, not to take away from Neil Sean, but I mean, his guitar playing was great. But if you, like, Steve Lukather and Neil Sean are two different. Steve Lukather is very technical.
Yeah.
Whereas Neil Sean is, I mean, he's, it's a lot of groove and stuff when he's playing, a lot of feeling. He was doing a lot of really fast stuff that really didn't belong in some of the stuff that he was doing.
Yeah.
Just yeah. Doing it to make noise.
But, he does a lot of that.
But that's to my ears. Like to everyone else, I'm sure, you know, everything was good. I mean, the sound was good.
The sound was good though?
Oh yeah, the sound was excellent.
Because yeah. How many concerts have we seen where we just couldn't make stuff out?
Well, I'm sure the nosebleed section was just echoing and reverberating and everything. But when you're down, when you looked up and you could see the sound system, and you know they have those speakers and they kind of go on an angle,
mm-hmm.
Look like
yeah, yeah.
Annapolis,
yeah,
and
yeah.
then fire out in different parts of the state of the, you know, of the place. So one of them was facing to the right of us, and one was facing to the left of us. So nothing was directly onto us, but we could hear everything really, really clear. And I was blown away by the drummer. I can't remember his name, but
the drummer for which one now?
For Journey. He was Journey? He was singing one of the songs.
Well, that's one of the that's an original guy, I think.
And I was like, wow, I thought it was the main singer that did that song, but it was him. And he did an awesome job, especially when
I wish I knew what song it was now.
He's drumming in the background. Well, I had actually watched YouTube one day and I saw him playing. And that was the song that he was playing. And I couldn't wait for him to play it because I really wanted to, you know, see how he sang it and played it at the same time. It was, mm-hmm. It was really good. Our seats were very good. The problem with when you watch a concert at home, you don't have people beside you. So when you have one person that gets up every song and starts screaming and going back and forth and whatever purse or whatever they're holding is keeps hitting you all the time, it gets kind of frustrating. And of course you have the seats, like someone has to come up with a better idea. I mean, it's the same as a movie theater. Who gets the armrests?
Yeah. Cause it's an armrest between two seats.
An armrest. Yeah.
Yeah. One,
like you have a chair, there's your armrest. Someone else has a chair. They have their armrest. Don't be so goddamn cheap. Put a couple inches between the freaking chairs.
Do you have the left armrest or the right armrest?
I mean, if I lose a chair here or there, I mean, big deal. It's like making a parking lot and figure, well, oh, everybody drives small cars now, so we're going to make them really tight. And then all of a sudden, all the vehicles are getting bigger again. And now when you park, you can barely open the freaking door.
But the parking lot, the parking stalls are still the same size that they were before.
Well, no, I think they made them smaller at one point because we used to have bigger, you know, back in the 70s.
Yeah, we had big cars, and then everybody started driving compacts, right? Like smaller stuff.
Yeah, and then when you look at the parking lots, when they redo the lines, everything's smaller, right? So you can fit more cars. And it's the same with the plane when we just get back from Mexico.
Oh, God.
I mean, I'm 6'3", and the Sunwing plane, there is no business class. There's no first class. It's just one big tube open, right? And your knees are jammed into the seat in front of you. And God forbid, if someone decides they want to push their seat back, not even pushing back with the button, just pushing just back.
Like leaning a bit.
Just leaning is freaking hard. Like your knees are jammed into your hips and your hips are jammed into your seat. That's no way. I mean, I couldn't get the emergency aisle or emergency exit seat. That would have been better. Someone had mentioned the first 10 rows or something. I guess there's more room.
Okay. Just,
I don't know. I've never been up front, so I didn't think that was an option, but I might know next time if I ever take a plane somewhere. But overall, yes, the actual, I guess your drink.
Coffee. This is my push to stay up as late as I can night.
Yeah, no, mine's just got back on Monday
to work.
No, just got, well, sorry. Yeah, Monday to work. And then we had, we had the concert to go to. And then the rest of this week, trying to catch up from the 2 weeks that I was off.
Yep.
So it's been a hell of a week.
You mean catching up at work?
Yeah. So
can you hold on one sec, Todd? I think someone left the door open to the outside.
Okay.
And I can feel a draft all the way downstairs here.
Okay.
So you regale the people with something. I'll be like, you can time. Why don't you time me? How long is this going to take? You got a timer?
Now I got to grab my phone. Okay, we'll grab my phone.
See how quick I can do this.
And
listen for screams as they trip and fall up the stairs and then back down the stairs.
Okay.
Let's see how quick I do this.
Okay, give her.
Okay, 3, 2, 1.
Okay, hit start. So anyway, as I was saying, not having room in the plane really sucks, especially when you're in the middle seat or even at the window seat. But if you can get the aisle seat, at least you have a little bit of leg room. You can kind of pop your knee out and stretch it out if you needed to. You just have to watch out for those big, huge metal carts so they don't take your leg off on the way by. And, that was a whopping 35 seconds. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm there.
Oh, okay. I saw you sigh, but I didn't hear anything.
Oh. Hey, I just, as you were talking about the journey thing,
mm-hmm.
I want to talk about your work thing, but maybe I'll share a screen. Blue, blue, blue.
Yeah, oh. he used to be the bass player for them at one point.
Yeah, from like American Idol.
Yeah.
He was a bass player for Journey.
Yeah, I saw him. If you find one of the, it's a Girl Can't Help It. I can't remember. There's one of them he was playing in. He's got parachute pants on. He's got full fro, and he's large.
Well, he used to be a lot bigger man. Yeah,
he was a lot bigger. I think I don't know if he had laparoscopy or what they call it, the band, lap band, or something. But he has lost a lot of weight. But back then,
was he there?
No. They've even Journey has had different members over the years.
Yeah.
It's what kind of kept them going. So, I mean,
yeah. Wow.
I mean, Neil and the singer are probably the only, I don't know, and the drummer, I guess.
Well, the singer is the one that's been with them for the last while.
Yeah. Well, for sure.
Yeah. But Arnell Panetta, I think his name is.
Yeah, or no, yeah, so he's at least 15 years.
Did you ever hear that, like, his, like, solo stuff?
No.
Pretty awesome, actually. Like, he can impersonate just about any voice.
Oh.
Yeah, like, he did, like, a Bon Jovi. Like, he had a YouTube channel when he was still living in the Philippines. And he was, like, doing Bon Jovi covers and other stuff. And he sounded exactly like each person he was doing.
I was looking at something. I was probably on Facebook. Was it Neil or Steve Perry was nominated, I guess, with Journey as in the Hall of Fame or something or other.
Yep.
Award. And then Arnell was there, but he was kind of in the background, but he was actually talking about him, really saying that he was really doing a really
fine job. Yeah. Yeah. Complimentary.
Which was really nice. I think that's
awesome.
There's a picture of him giving him a hug, actually.
Yep. And that, I mean, that probably made that kid's life, like.
Yeah.
You know, like he obviously idolizes Steve Perry. I mean, he sounds just like the guy.
Yeah.
You know.
And he's all over the stage. Like he's running up and down.
Yeah.
Lots of energy.
Did you ever watch the Netflix documentary on his joining the band?
I don't think so.
You should. It's very it's a good story.
No.
It's definitely a good story because they talk about how he came from, you know, he didn't come from a rich, you know, area or anything like that, and he didn't have a lot of money, and he was a struggling musician. And then when he came in guns a blazing, and he was like, he's great. But then I think the keyboard player, because the keyboard player is a good singer too, and he was one of the original guys, he said, you know, like you're giving your all for every second of every song. You can't do that,
right?
I mean, he sounded great, but it's like you can't sound like I mean, I don't know how Sammy Hagar did it for all those years, but you can't just the whole time. Like, you got to have rest periods where you're just, where you're just singing. You're not like singing, belting it out. You can't belt 100% of the time. So he was the keyboard player or piano player, whatever. He was coaching their new singer on how to sing. It was very, very good. And it's like, well, that guy can sing. Like, so it was, so they, you know, taught him like restraint, like, you know, save yourself. You know, sometimes they don't start with a hard song vocally, because, you know, take two or three songs to warm your voice up. You don't start with the hardest song.
Right.
You don't finish with the hardest song either. You know, you gotta, it's not like playing guitar, like, it's, you know, it's a whole different instrument. So, but anyway, it's really entertaining to watch this kid so eager to please and kind of coming into his own. It's a very, very, very good documentary.
Do you remember the name of it?
No, but I have this thing called Goggle. I'm going to see if that gives me any answers. Well, that's a comedic shtick from the metal shop. They use Goggle on there. Netflix.
Is that like using Yippee?
Yeah. You just reminded me of our grandmother there.
Yippee.
Journey Band. Don't Stop Believing. Every Man's Journey.
Okay.
Which reminded me, did you ever see Looking for Sugar Man?
Doesn't sound familiar at all.
It's a music documentary too. We have to get back. See, we're already so this is the movie about, here, I'll just read it quickly here. It's worth watching. I don't know what streaming service it's on, but you have ways around that, don't you? It's a 2012 documentary film about the South African cultural phenomenon, written and directed by blah, 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 which details the efforts in the late 1990s of two Cape Town fans who are trying to find out whether the rumored death of American musician Sixto Rodriguez was true, and if not, to discover what had become of him. Rodriguez's music, which had never achieved success in his home country of the United States, had become very popular in South Africa, although little was known about him there. So it's, there were fans of this guy, Sugar Man.
Right.
There were fans, and he never made it as a musician. He never made it. He did all the right things. He seemed to have all the right connections, and he just never made it. So eventually he just faded into obscurity, but he ended up getting this huge following in Africa. And these two people try to find Sugar Man. Like, is he alive? Is he dead? Where is he? You know, like, whatever happened to him. So it's a story about finding him. And it's phenomenal. And his music is real good. Hmm. It's real good. So I highly recommend. Okay, but anyway, so you came back to work. You've been back to work for a week.
Yeah, well, because I was gone for 2 weeks, went back to work, and then I had like hundreds of emails to go through.
Oh yeah,
yeah. So that was fun, and then trying to order, and month end is coming up the end of this month, so there's a lot of stuff to get ready for that. So it's been quite busy. So tonight, Friday night, it was like, okay, going to be able to veg, relax, watch the game,
and then you get my fucking message,
and there's like two different podcasts coming on.
Sorry.
This would be the third one, actually. This would have been the third one.
Yeah.
But 9 o'clock is when the game starts. So I get.
Oh, okay. So that's why you want to be off at 9. Yeah. That's fair enough. Join for a bit and then leave. Did you actually find some rankings for Van Halen too?
You know what? I've got my homework sheet.
But I should send, like, it's one of those things I have to send it to him.
Oh, beforehand?
Beforehand, yeah, because he puts it into this Excel spreadsheet and tabulates all the points. And so if you've got it, send it to me and I'll send it to him. He's probably waiting, like, sorry, he's probably prepping right now for the show.
Oh, really? Well, I'd have to actually read these and kind of think about it for a second and then rank them, but it's probably too late for that now, unless you want me to do it now.
You could spoil your results. So did you actually go back and listen to Van Halen too, like front to back?
Yeah.
How many times?
A couple times. First time is when I had my guitar out, and second time I was actually just listening, just to listen to it. But there's so many. This is one of the, I'd say one of the, I don't know, one of the better albums, but these songs aren't played as much.
Yes.
As the Van Halen
Agreed.
One.
Agreed.
But they're very good songs.
And there's I think I like them better because they're not played as much.
Yeah, but I mean, You're No Good, that's not their original. Dance a Night Away, that's not one of their originals. How many other ones are
there? Is it not, though? Is that a cover, too?
Which one, Dance a Night Away? Oh, I'm thinking Dancing in the Street, sorry.
Yeah.
But You're No Good, that's...
Yeah, that's
obviously different.
Who the hell did that originally?
I think it was a woman who sang it.
No, it was for sure. Linda Ronstadt. That's what it was.
Okay, it could be.
Fuck, do you want to listen to it?
Sure, just some clips.
Just for a second.
Yeah.
Live, even better.
Yep. Linda Ronstadt.
Introduce you to the guys in the band. First of all, on keyboards, Brock Walsh.
Nice.
Waddy Wachtel on lead guitar. And of course, my friend Andrew Gold on keyboards and guitars.
This wasn't when Glenn Frey and Don Henley were in the band.
Oh.
Michael Botts on drums.
Oh, I was just
mandolin, guitar, and bass. And on electric guitar and pedal steel, Dan Dugmore.
Man, this is awesome. Holy shit, this is good. Do you remember this, Todd?
Oh, yeah. I remember that song.
Did you used to have a crush on Linda Ronstadt?
No. I did with Olivia Newton-John, though.
Yeah, I did not with Olivia Newton-John.
No?
Not my cup of tea.
Oh, okay. But this was like in the Grease days.
Well, yeah. I just, in Three's Company, who was your favorite? Suzanne Summers, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it was always, no. It was Janet for me, 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah. Chris L, who we're going to be seeing in a little bit. I think he's a Janet lover too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Did you know there's a Three's Company podcast out there?
No way.
Yeah. Is there? Yeah. Corey Morsetz keeps promoting it on his show.
Is it?
I don't know. They just talk about the show and the episodes.
No, is it? Is it Corey's?
No. He's just a huge fan, and he just, if he likes a podcast, he promotes the shit out of it. He does that with our show every week. You know, he could shout out to us every single week.
Yeah, I was actually, you know, reading up on it and Zan Summers and what had happened. I guess she wanted to get paid as much as everyone else. And,
yep.
And then they just get rid of her. And then
yep, just like that. Her.
Like even the person who used to do her makeup or hair or whatever, she's mm-hmm. saw them walking down the street and the person across the street didn't even, you know, want to talk to her. So I don't know. Maybe, I don't know. And I don't know what was said.
I mean, back then being a woman and having a voice, like.
Yeah. How dare you?
How dare you? I know. And but in truth, if you remember that first season of Three's Company, she was like, she was the draw. It was her and Jack.
Yeah.
Well, like they were the draw.
I mean, she played the dumb blonde very, very well.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure. I mean, if in the 70s, if you would have saw, like, if you would have looked up that term dumb blonde, mm-hmm. it would have been her on the page.
Sure.
There was no other show. I mean, we watched $6 Million Man. There was was it $1 Million Woman or no, what was it called?
Jamie Summers, the Bionic Woman.
Bionic Woman, sorry. I mean, they were fine. Like Charlie's Angels, they're all good.
Yeah, you know, Farrah Fawcett on Charlie's Angels was not the dumb blonde.
No, she wasn't.
Not at all, no.
So what I'm saying, like when you say that term, it, you know, Suzanne Summers in Three's Company was kind of the
She played it well because she's actually an incredibly, you know, she was incredibly intelligent. Like if you look at her business empire, the fact that she got blacklisted the way she did, you know,
just watching Mr. Furley or Mr. Roper, depending on what seasons you're watching, when they're overhearing Jack talking to someone,
yep.
and Furley's eyes were just, you know, wide right up. It's
do the dad thing with the pants.
With his yellow leisure suit.
Jesus Christ.
And his, what was that guy's, Don Cherry's friggin', collar with the big, huge collars. We're all floppy though.
Surprise! Hi, Jack. What's cooking? I guess I really bowl him over, huh? Hey, why the long faces?
Jack failed his cooking exam, and he's gonna move out.
Move out? It's a good thing I showed up when I did. Jack, it's time you and I had a talk. Just the two of us. Now hear this. What's all this about you running away? Don't you know when the going gets tough, the tough get going? So you fail. Big deal. Look at me. I fail almost everything I've ever tried.
Say, you know, I knew I should have made a left turn at Albuquerque.
Albuquerque.
So I've written my numbers down, but I'm just kind of going by from what I remember the song sounds like. I could be way off, but I did put from 1 to 10.
You did?
Yeah.
So did you write it on paper?
Well, what I did is I've got the songs, names, yeah. You can see here. And then I wrote notes on the songs. And then beside the song, I put a number.
All right. So is there a digital version of that?
No, I just did it by hand.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, so we have to send it to him.
Whatever. Yeah, you could just throw your votes in live. I mean, if you're only staying till 9, you'll probably only get through like 3 tracks because these things go a long time. But I know what I was going to tell you. He's put. I'm on their Discord server.
Right.
And they're chatting with all the patrons and stuff and like, okay, what the hell are we doing? We got to tighten up these shows. They run too long. It goes off the rails,
mm-hmm.
which was strange because after we did our OU812 episode, it took us 3 hours or 3 weeks worth of material to get through the whole fucking album. There was just two of us.
Right.
But for them, it was 3 hours and it was just like, you know, and the whiskey keeps flowing the whole time.
Yeah, and your eyes get heavier, and it's like, oh my God,
and it's getting late, and they've got some rules in place to keep it down to a minimum. One of them is to not let Eric talk at all. Eric Senich talk at all.
Well, he's like a wind up toy. You wind him up, let him go.
But he's talking about Van Halen, right? He's so
exactly.
Excited.
It's stuff I want to hear.
Well, yeah.
I want to hear it. So, I mean, run it long and just cut it into sections, I guess. Then you don't have to do as many podcasts. You can, you know, cut them up.
Yeah. But I mean, I don't know, you know, and Eric and then Chaz Charles, the guy who does the Rush podcast, he's just as bad as Eric. Right. Like, and then the two of them going off on tangents in the same room.
Right.
But what I wanted to say, I actually went back. Are you sending me a picture?
I was going to send you a picture of.
If you send a picture, just text, just chat it to Morissette.
That one. I think I got it.
Yeah, just send it in chat to Morissette. You should have him on your Facebook chat. Oh, yeah, we're still live.
Yeah, well, yeah. This
gripping tale of Todd taking pictures of paper with his phone.
Paper pictures. Peter Piper picked the paper pictures.
Yeah, my for unlawful carnal knowledge votes are going to be incredibly controversial.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Well, I sent him to Corey. And I don't know. Corey didn't say much. I said, these are controversial. And I think he said something like, yes, I agree.
Okay. I just sent him the pictures, the two pictures.
Oh, yeah. Perfect. But I don't listen to for the fuck out. I don't listen, sorry, to the FUCK album at all. Like, do you listen to that one? Like, do you go back and just, I'm going to listen to the album and just like front to back, just give it a listen anymore?
To be honest, I haven't really listened to a whole lot of Van Halen in the last little while. Not because I don't want to. It just, I haven't really listened to a whole lot of music, really.
Yeah. You wouldn't sit down and listen to an album of it from anybody right now, right?
No, I mean, if I wanted to, a lot of the Van Halen stuff is stuff I want to learn.
Yeah. Yeah.
So in order for me to learn, I have to pick a song because, like I said before, I mean, half of these songs are all tuned slightly different from the other.
Yep.
So if I were to try and play through the whole album, it just gets frustrating, and then I just stop. Just like the headpins.
Yeah.
Like, loud. You could play one song, it's tuned perfectly, and then you play the other song, then you have to adjust it all. You have to adjust it all. And you don't want to do that, and it's like, and you just give up on it type of thing, right?
Yeah.
You just want to listen to it. So it's the kind of same thing with the older Van Halen stuff. It's not like when I had OU812, I had the actual tab book.
Yes.
I learned it from beginning to end, and it was tuned the same.
Was so it?
Whatever it was tuned, it was
and
always
wait, tuned. It was tuned the same in the book.
No, it was tuned, it's like the guitar was tuned the same.
Through the whole album?
Yeah.
I'm stunned. I just assumed.
There's some drop D stuff where it's, you know, the low E, they just go down two steps. Kind of similar to when you're playing Unchained. It's just tuned down a couple steps.
Yeah.
Which is one, you know, one chord or one, yeah, one chord to do it with, to adjust. But when you're, you know, when you're playing the whole album and each song is just slightly, you call it, the pitch is slightly, what's the term? It's either flat or sharp. Like, it's just slightly. And some songs, it's a whole step. So, I mean, you have to tune it down a whole step type of thing.
Yeah.
It's just, and I think that was because of, I mean, Dave could only sing in a certain range, so they had to tune down a bit. Yeah. But then it makes all the strings a little slinkier and it just plays a little bit different. And yeah, but I mean, I love the way that Eddie plays so much that when I try to practice it, I try to get it exactly.
Yes.
Just to get the feel and the way that he does it. I mean, anybody can play a note, anybody can play a song, and anybody can copy anybody else. But sometimes, I mean, you listen to, like, for example, and this is when we went to Mexico, we went to go see a show. It was a Michael Jackson show. And it was supposed to be somebody mimicking Michael Jackson. I mean, it was all, right? It wasn't someone actually singing, it was the actual music. And they were going by it. Now, Michael Jackson, when he was on stage, it was snap, 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 snap.
Oh, God, yeah.
Very, very deliberate, you know, moves and stuff and whatnot. This guy was just kind of, he was doing the moves, but it wasn't snappy. It was just kind of flowy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So in that respect, like if you're trying to imitate someone and you want to be exact type of thing, when you're doing the music, it's kind of in the same format. You can play someone who's playing any song. Like any,
there's nuance, right?
Yeah, there's a lot of nuance. And there's some people that get it. You close your eyes, you wouldn't know the difference.
Yeah.
Pete Thorne is one of them. And he's, wow, he's just amazing when he plays
it. Pete Thorne?
Pete Thorne, yeah. He's one of the, he's a YouTuber, I guess you want to
say. Oh, wait, is that the guy you showed me before? He was playing in some coffee house and they recorded live at the coffee house, but the sound was just ridiculously amazing?
Nope.
Wasn't that guy?
No, that was somebody different. That was Mike Massey.
Mike Massey, yes.
Yes.
Well, yeah. I think we're going to have to cap it off here because I think we're going to have to join the other show.
All right. I'll
send you the link, right? To.
Yep.
Okay. All right. We'll sign off here. See you guys on the flip side, i.e. on the podcast. We'll rock. Yeah. And we will rock you later.
Later.
All right. Okay. I'll see you in the other room. Bye.
Matt.
Hey, gang. Sean Geek here.
And Fast Fret.
And we have two storefronts. If you are a TeePublic fan, you can browse our inventory over at TeePublic, which is teepublic.com/SeanGeekPodcast.
Or redbubble.com/people/SeanGeekPodcast.
You can get anything from either storefront, from t-shirts, stickers, phone cases, accessories of all kinds. We're talking masks, notebooks, mugs, pillows, totes, tapestries.
Oh, my.
Oh, my. Everything's there. Just go to those addresses. Also, check the show notes and help support the show. Thank you. Goodbye.
Bye.